Okay. And David Poppers is our gabbai, if you ever seen him. He's a doctor, and he's been coming to MG for quite a while. And his father I met on a few occasions. Actually, he was a survivor, a hidden child. He was about 11 or 12 when the Nazis invaded Holland. He was from Amsterdam. And he went into hiding 2 years later. I got the whole story today because his son spoke. And he was hidden by a family in another part of Holland for 2.5 years under haystacks. And they were able to get the family accepted by Yad Vashem as a righteous Gentile family. And they visit him every year, actually. They visit the family every year. And then their children are now their grandchildren. Pretty amazing. And he was a physician. And I'd like to just, his name was Dr. Paul Poppers, and I'd like to dedicate this class in his memory. Those of you who were with us on Shavuos, we actually dedicated the entire night to what we're talking about tonight, which is mindfulness. The idea that we don't just sort of walk around life without thinking and not being aware of what's happening. It's becoming increasingly difficult to do this because of these crazy things are here. We're going to make a little thing. Everybody take your phone. I know. Don't get scared. Don't get scared. Turn it off.
Okay. Well, it's too hard.
And take it here. Look at this. Watch this. Put it down. Put it down. Just put it down. That's it. Paperweight mode. I like that. I like that. I want you to know, I just over the 3 days of Shavuot, I felt like a little. It was 3 days where I couldn't use the phone, and it just felt really good. And I haven't posted anything since, and I'm in like withdrawals. And I've spoken at a few places, a few things that were postable, and I didn't do it. Now, it's not good for business, but it's good for me personally, existentially, emotionally. Now, why am I discussing this? Because we're here to talk about blessings. Blessings, like no other thing, in my opinion, in Judaism, allow us to be in the moment. They allow us to appreciate things that are super basic, that we probably just mull over, we don't get happy about. And because we don't get happy about, we only look for other things to be happy. And then we think we don't have enough to be happy about. And I hated that expression. Welcome, Misha. I hated that expression. Oh, you have your health. You know what I mean? Like you have your health. It's true you have your health, but like the health isn't something I think about because the health isn't being threatened. The only times I kind of appreciate, and I told the story when I had a hernia operation like 10 years ago, so they don't let you leave. Has anyone been through this? I don't know. So whatever, they don't let you leave the hospital until you move your bowels, and then they kick you out pretty quickly. So I remember making that blessing, which we're going to learn tonight together, the blessing of Asher Yatzar, that we say when we come out of the bathroom, and thinking, wow, this is unbelievable. Now, I've been saying Asher Yatzar since I'm a little boy. But sometimes you can just rattle through these brachos and not think about them either. So the idea is twofold. A, to say some of these blessings, because what they're going to do is they're going to bring you into a certain reality and appreciation and gratitude for things you're not even thinking about. That is going to make you a happier person, because you're going to realize that you actually have things already over which you should be celebrating. So even if you don't get that promotion, you don't get into the school you wanted to go to, your boyfriend, your girlfriend dumped you, not good things, you still have your health. I mean this. You're going to be able to put it into perspective. See, that's all you can do when bad things happen. You can't make the bad thing go away and not be upset about it. You got dumped, you failed the bar, whatever it is. Except what happens is you realize that within the context of all the other blessings you have in your life, I can handle this. I can deal with this. And, I said this actually at my grandmother's funeral. My grandmother was widowed, lived as a widow as long as she lived as a married person. So she was alone for many years, and she had very serious Parkinson's. So she shook a lot. She used to play the piano. My brother used to call her Ray Charles every time. She played the piano because she'd move around a lot. It was a little mean. And she was like a very elegant German woman who escaped the Nazis, came to the United States. And I realized that because she had a basic appreciation for those just simple things. Welcome. How are you? She was able to be happy about stuff many of us are not happy about. And that's really one of the themes of blessings that I wanted to open with tonight. Okay? Now, there's a little of a contradiction.
Welcome. Get the complimentary blessing card. People are like, wow, what is that?
Great. So it says in the Torah, and you don't have this on your handout, it says in the Torah, LaHashem ha'aretz umlo'ah. Translated as LaHashem, to God, ha'aretz, what's aretz? The land, umlo'ah, and everything that's in it. Which is another way of saying, everything in the world belongs to God. That's a verse from Psalms. So in a sense, we can't really play around with stuff. Everything is Hashem's. On the other hand, there's another famous verse from the book of Psalms that says, Hashamayim, Shamayim, LaHashem, the heavens were given to God, ba'aretz natan livnei adam. But earth, the material world, that was given to us to use, to enjoy. So which is it? Does the world belong to God or does it belong to us? The Talmud asks this question and answers, Kan kodem levracha, kan la'achar habracha. When the Torah says that the whole world belongs to God, that's talking about before the Jew makes a blessing over something, like a piece of food or some article of clothing, whatever it is that you're enjoying in the physical world. Then it belongs to Hashem. But after we make a bracha, then it belongs to us.
Isn't it both at the same time, like a covenant, it's like a contract?
A contract of what? Good. What's the contract, actually? We actually do have a contract because, what does that mean? I can mumble a few words, and then all of a sudden, something which otherwise belonged to the Almighty now belongs to me. How is it that I can say a bracha? In fact, the Talmud says that anyone who enjoys anything from the physical world without making a bracha is those they've stolen. Stolen from who? Stolen from God. It's not yours, it's the world's. Who's the world belong to? Hashem. I thought you said the world belongs to me. Does the world belong to me or to God? Which is it? It's both if. There's a big if. What's the if? Wait, what's your question? Are they mutually exclusive?
Yeah, are they mutually exclusive?
What do you guys think?
No.
The world. We're born into this world. Can we just do it with it as we please? Why do people become conservationists? Save the trees, save the this, save the that. Why is it important to do that exactly? Why can't we just cut stuff down, waste paper? Who cares? Okay, we'll pollute the environment, we'll contribute to climate change, and burn ourselves to death too fast. Is that a possibility? Okay, what else? Because maybe, I don't know, when you got here, was this place yours? Did the world ever belong to any single human being or corporate entity, a government, a state, a nationality? Who does the world belong to? Where does it come from? So in Jewish philosophy, the world was created by God. If the world is created by God, then presumably it belongs to Him. But what do you mean? We're placed in that world, so then we get to enjoy it. Are we allowed to enjoy the world? 100%. We should enjoy the world. In fact, Talmud says that one of the questions you'll be asked after 120, when you're standing in judgment, God's going to say, why did you deny yourself any of the permitted pleasures of the world? However, the Talmud says that we can only really enjoy the world when we make a bracha. So I'm going to go back to the same thing. What is it about mumbling a few words that can transfer ownership from the Almighty to humanity, from God to man to people? Now, I realize that I just made a few assumptions. Maybe you don't believe in God. Or maybe you do believe in God, but you don't think the world belongs to God. Somehow you believe it belongs to us. I'm not sure who granted it to us, who gave it to us, who said it belongs to us. Oh, we're here. No one's keeping me from using it. I can do whatever I want. I'm just giving you a Jewish philosophy. Jewish philosophy presupposes the existence of a supernatural creator who owns and rules the world, creates me and you, puts us in this world, and says, here, enjoy, on one condition. A bracha? Yeah, what do you think?
So, are we assuming then that anyone who's not Jewish is constantly stealing from
God? No.
Because they don't have the requirement to say bracha.
They don't have a requirement to say blessing. It's not one of the seven Noachide laws.
So
good
only,
point.
So the
it only applies to a Jew.
Only us.
Only applies to a Jew, which teaches you something else. Why would it only apply to a Jew? I mean, it's the same reason that only the laws of Kashrut apply to Jews, only laws of Shabbat apply to Jews. All these rules and laws, with the exception of the seven basic code of morality, only apply to Jews.
There's a covenant with our forefathers.
We made a deal. because we were supposed to be what? Oh, now we can start. We made a deal that what? What's the covenant, guys? What was the covenant? This is really important. You need to know your job. If we accept the Torah, God will keep us because God needs us. Why does God need us? Why does Hashem need us to do what?
To be an example.
Why does Hashem need us to keep the mitzvahs? Who cares?
To bring light.
Right? What was the whole point of existence? Why did he need to create anyone? He wasn't lonely. He needed to watch little people bumping into each other here. So there's a little entertainment up there in the heavens.
He needed us because someone, the Torah was made for somebody.
The Torah was made for someone.
It was made for us.
And, I mean, why did he give us? We just celebrated this whole holiday of Shavuot. Blessings goes to the very core of Jewish philosophy. Why do we exist? God bless you.
He'd offered it to other nations.
We believe that too. The Medrash teaches that. We weren't the only ones to be offered the Torah. We were the ones to go for it. Okay? That doesn't necessarily make us better. Maybe we had a little inclination of what was in that Torah. We thought it would be good for us. But for the whole world, we're supposed to teach the world about basic ideas. One of those basic ideas is that there's a God, and that God gave us these beautiful blessings, and we need to appreciate those blessings. How do you appreciate the blessing? By mumbling a few words. What's the word bracha actually mean?
Blessing.
Yeah, let's get better than blessing. This is the next level class. What does the word bracha actually mean? Blessing. Say again? In a sense, we're asking God for permission, but that's not the language. What's the typical language of a typical blessing? You pick up a fruit, open up your little blessing card, okay? You didn't get a blessing card. So sad. Oh, I told you about this. Tom, did you get? Okay. Take a look. Let's say it's a fruit. What's your favorite fruit? Give me a fruit, guys. Taryn. What? Kiwi. You pick up a piece of kiwi.
I love kiwi.
Okay.
Sorry.
Take a look. You see the middle panel? See the middle panel? Can you see that? Okay, the middle panel on top. Do it with me. You're about to chomp into a kiwi. All right, Jesse, what do you like?
What?
You're not going to eat the kiwi, and I want you to make a blessing. So.
Cantaloupe.
Yeah. Tomato. I can't stand tomatoes, but you can have that. Think tomato, kiwi, cantaloupe. Think of your favorite fruit. That's something that comes from a tree. You with me? Let's do it together. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri haaretz. And then you make sure to eat it. Now, what just happened? What are the words? You just said, blessed are you. Let's do it in English. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. What does that? What does that mean? A blessing? Did you just bless God?
Fruit of the tree.
Fruit of the tree.
You're blessing the fruit.
Blessing God.
Hey, what are you at? Because you're not really blessing the fruit. I mean, no offense to you, Misha, but the fruit doesn't need your blessing. And here's even worse. Does God need your blessing?
It's like the adjectival form. It's like stating something. It's a description.
Oh, it's a description. I was once called into a kitchen in a non-kosher hotel. They heard I was a rabbi, and they wanted the food to be kosher, so they called me in, and they said, Rabbi, we need you to bless the food. If you bless the food will be kosher now. I said, dude, it doesn't work that way. The food's not kosher. I don't care how many blessings I lop on that thing. I can pray to that cantaloupe until it's blue. It's not going to matter. What am I doing?
You can't change the wine into blood?
You started saying something, though.
It's a description, right?
Of what?
God.
You're mentioning God. You're describing God. You're just saying, blessed are you, God, who creates the fruit of the universe. What's that?
Of God's creation.
Of God's creation. What we're about to enjoy. That's why you get a little more specific. You don't make the same blessing on a fruit as on a vegetable. But think about that minute. The word bracha comes from the word berecha. Berecha is a spring. What's a spring? Spring is the source of where the water comes from. What you're doing basically before you are eating something is you're acknowledging its source. That's it. It's very simple. You're just saying, I'm about to eat this cantaloupe, kiwi, whatever, tomato. I pick it up and I'm going, this is from God. That's it. That's all you're saying. This is from God. Now, how does that change ownership? I said to you a moment ago that before you made the bracha, it belongs to Hashem. Now when you make the bracha, you transfer ownership. You know why? Because if I say to Max, I've got this cool Maserati, and all he wants to do is borrow my Maserati. That's all the reason he's friends with me. He only comes to class so he can use my Maserati. So I realize how much he wants it. So I take my keys and I chuck it to Max. And I go, here. There you go. The keys to the Maserati. You can have the car for the whole weekend. Drive it anywhere except for these rocky city roads. De Blasio, he doesn't know how to clean up all the potholes. You can drive it on the highways. You can drive it in the country. I don't want you driving it, and I'm giving you the keys on that condition. What happens if you take my car 10 minutes later and you start driving it up on Broadway, on the Upper West Side, bam, into a pothole? Or even if you don't hit a pothole, what have you technically done?
Broken the agreement.
You broke the agreement, and in most legal systems, we call that, it's actually the most Jewish form of theft. It's technically embezzlement. When you come into something, I studied this in law school, when you come into something legally, but you misappropriate, meaning you came into this car legally, you're in that car because I gave you the keys, uh-huh. But I told you to use the car only in the country, not in the city streets. So it's not, it is actually a form of theft. It's misappropriation. Oops. You've misappropriated my car. You've used it legally, you're in possession of the car legally, but the way you used it violates the terms of our arrangement. And so, technically, you've stolen from me on some level. God basically gives us this world. And he says, I want you to enjoy this world, but I want you to use it for its intended purpose, which was to connect, to stay connected with me, your divine source. I want to have a relationship with you, Hashem says. So I'm going to give you a world. I'm going to create you. I'm going to will you into physical existence. But I'm going to make you needy. You're going to need me. Why does Hashem create us needy? Why do when we create people, little people called children, they're extraordinarily needy? And you know that the more sophisticated the being, the more needy the offspring is? You ever see like a bird giving birth? Or even like an insect or some other very low on the animal kingdom totem pole? The lower they are, the quicker they can take care of themselves. The less they need their parents. Human beings of all of the animals need their parents longer and more dramatically. You ever see like, I used to be like crazy into animals. The average gestation period for an elephant, I'm sure you all know this. How long do elephants stay pregnant?
3 years.
Wow. They drop their... prey, they drop their prey, they drop their offspring. Bam!
It'll be
right. Is that right? They get up pretty quickly. You ever see, has anyone, like National Geographic, some of these? They're pretty cool. Like, they just stand up, start to walk. You know how long it takes a little baby to start to walk? And the parents are gooing and ooing and eyeing and ah, and we throw a party and send, make sure we get them into Dalton, we have to get them over here, and here, whatever it is, you got to think about that quickly. You know, think about that. Think about that. They're wobbling around. Every time they fall down, it's a little giggle. It's great. We'll buy them a new outfit for the event. Because we were needy, it was done on purpose so that we would develop a relationship with our parents. Hashem creates us with needs. He puts us in a physical world so we can have a relationship with Him. That's what brachas are about. If we just live in that world and we don't even understand why, we don't even try to connect with our divine source, why we're here. We can eat the fruit, but you just blew the whole purpose of the fruit. Oh, what do you mean? I'm eating the fruit because I like it. It looks juicy and I'm hungry. That's the way animals operate. Human beings are supposed to be on a higher level, and Jewish people are supposed to teach the world that. That's why when we eat, we make brachos. Yeah.
So, I guess you portrayed it as sort of a, like, kind of a transaction between almost like two people, but... I'm wondering, you know, since like humans are also the source of, you know, we're also created from God and God is in everything. So I guess, is it really this transaction, or is it more just say like God is in everything, God is everywhere? So how can there truly be a transference?
Because the we do make the assumption that human beings were the object of God's creation. The ethics of our fathers, the rabbis teach, we say bishvilini, it's a little selfish. We believe that we are the center of the universe. And that doesn't mean that we can abuse animals or corrupt the environment and be wasteful. But that's because we respect the gifts we've been given, but those are gifts for people. the world was created for people. And there is this kind of arrangement between God and the people he created. Even animals were created for the sake of people, we believe. I don't know if this is answering your question. And there is this kind of, now, I don't, you and I were never like asked, I don't know if that's what you're asking also.
I guess I'm asking, can humans truly own something independent of God? Like, can God truly relinquish ownership?
Yeah, so, yes, because God can do anything he wants. And he can decide, by the way, that a certain part of the world belongs to a certain people, like Israel.
But wouldn't he still own it?
He would. He can't, you know, it might be a bit of a legal fiction. I think you're right. There's probably no such thing as anything that's totally ours.
Right.
Now, what about between me and you?
Yeah.
The halacha respects personal property. Sure. We're not like, you know, Marxism that believed there's no such thing. Everything belongs to the state. Right. It's just communally, this communal entity that owns everything. No, there is personal property. And if I take yours, then there should be repercussions for that. We believe in that. You're right, but God can decide, you know what? I'm going to contract my essence, create this finite physical space, and give some of it to people on condition. And that's the concept behind blessings. We are fulfilling our condition of enjoying the physical world, which was that we were given this physical world for a reason. And that's the beauty of reciting a little line before you eat something. All of a sudden, the mundane activity of eating gets elevated and used to bring you into the whole point of existence. Like in the middle of the day, you see an apple, it looks juicy, and you eat it, and you're like, okay, I'm enjoying this. That's okay, nothing wrong. But I'm going to enjoy it in a way that brings significance and meaning to my very purpose through the food experience. And that's why making blessings is so much more important than the little line that we say, that little word that we mumble. It's what it represents. It's such a magnificent thing. And as I said before, I started our class, if you don't buy anything I'm saying now philosophically, then just accept the fact that all the gratitude studies show that when you express gratitude, you become a happier person. They've done, in 2016, they did, no, 2006, they, I did all, for my book, they did all these great gratitude studies with Vietnam vets who had experienced pretty serious post-traumatic symptoms and disorders. It works to reduce stress. It works to improve one's health in a variety of ways. And it could actually help someone who has gone through some very seriously traumatic experiences in their life. Just saying, look how appreciative I am of something so basic as a piece of fruit, or that the plumbing is working in my body, so when I come out of the bathroom I make a bracha. Because I remember this years ago, a friend of mine was a big supporter of MGE, and he went through a very difficult physiological experience, and he had some very serious surgery, and I went to visit him in the hospital, and he turned to me, he was sitting at the edge of the bed, and he goes like, Mark, this is a wake up call. This was a wake-up call. I got to change my life. I can't eat like this. I can't live like this. I need to have a better balance. I'm going to come to MGE more. It's not going to just be work, work, work. 6 months later, I'm calling the guy up, trying to get an appointment with him, trying to learn, haven't seen you. 6 months. 6 months. He's normal. He's normal. 6 months is probably about 2 or 3 months longer than most people after these experiences happen. The beauty of this is that you don't have to wait for something to be threatened to appreciate it in your life. That I wake up in the morning. What's happening when we wake up in the morning? Most of us just get stressed out, including me, that I got something going on, I got to write this speech, I got to do this. I woke up this morning, I have a funeral, I haven't written a speech, I haven't written the eulogy yet. I'm uptight about that. That's the way I woke. But then I said, you know what? Think about that after you say the Moda'ani. The Moda'ani is the prayer we wake up and we say, thank you, God, for giving me life. And I just realized, you know what? I'll figure out what to say at the funeral. Right now, I'm happy to be alive. Right? I come out of the bathroom. Bathroom is such an annoyance. It's like, we have so much work to do and I have to like relieve myself. Like, really? You know? But then you realize what it does, and that's you know, so what I want to do is I want to just spend the next few minutes going through some of these blessings and pointing out the basic functionalities that it could help us not take for granted anymore. Okay? You with me? So let's do this together. Let's go through the five blessings beforehand. Fruit is pretty simple. We did it. Berei Pra'etz. What about if you had a cookie? It will happen. Even those of you on a diet, you will have a potato chip or a pretzel at some point. What's that?
Should have its own blessing.
Cookies are just so important. Berei Pra'etz cookie. Thank you, God, for creating cookies. Let's do it together. The five grains. It says, over the five species of grain, wheat, barley, rye, oats, and spelt, if they are boiled or ground or and made into a dish, so like you're having cereal in the morning. And here's a trick one. You have what do you have in your cereal? You have milk and the grain. So you always pick the one that's more important.
Instead of wanting the cereal.
In one cereal, if they're mixed. Now, when I was a kid, I hated the whole concept. It freaked me out that the cereal would sit in my milk and it would get soggy. So I used to have them separately. Yeah, I was a little off. So I had them separately. So as long as I had them separately, I made a separate blessing over the milk and a separate blessing over the grain. And then little by little, my mother, blessed memory, she wove me, like just gradually, put a Cheerio and a cornflake. And little by little, I was putting them together.
Then my...
It was a very yucky. It was very. I used to have my slippers like this.
The key is to pour all your milk in one spot, so it's all at the bottom. But like you're not.
No,
because if you pour it over the entire bowl, you're getting the right. entire top soggy too.
Right. So wait, no, spot, two things. Two things. One second. First of all, you can't put too much. You can't put too much, and you never put it in when you're having a conversation with someone else. Because if you're having a conversation with someone else, that's distracting. You have to focus on.
Or eat while they're talking.
That you can do. That's true.
So, wait, okay.
Yeah. Good. It's objective, actually.
Because the cereal is the main thing.
Why?
Because you're putting the milk on the cereal.
So when I was a kid, I had like literally two Cheerios in a bowl of milk.
So then the milk is...
So I used to think that. But apparently the way the halacha operates, the halacha actually defines certain foods as more chashuv. For example, bread is considered the most chashuv. It's not even on here. You make a motzi on bread.
Let's do it.
Chashuv means, I'm sorry, important, significant. That it, bread is so significant, it subsumes everything else under it except for?
Wine.
So if you make a motzi, baruch, let's do it. Baruch, I'm sorry, it's not here. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. If you make a motzi, it covers everything except for wine. If you make, if you have a mixture of things, let's say you're having a salad, and in your salad is lettuce, and in your salad is peppers. So croutons are going to kill you. Croutons is bread, you got to go wash, make hamotzi. Now, the easy thing, there's a good and bad about the bread. The good thing about the bread is that it makes your blessing situation very simple. You make hamotzi, covers everything, you're good to go, but then you have to, I don't want to say but then you're supposed to recite the Birkat HaMazon, the grace after meals. You have to bench.
People, avoid those things.
So some people avoid so they don't have to do that. Because then, if you do these little blessings on each item, but if it's a mixture, you just do one thing. So let's say you have, not bread croutons in there.
Parmesan crisps.
There you go. What is that? They're crisps. They're made out of cheese, though? So what's cheese, though?
Shehakol.
Shehakol. Let me just systematically, and I'll take, yeah. Shehakol.
So
Shehakol is a non-shur, because it's such a generic blessing.
So why can't you just do that over the cereal? Be like, oh, like...
Same reason when you come to someone's home and you say, thank you for dinner, it was lovely. Right. What would be a nicer way of saying thank you?
Oh, the potatoes were amazing. Yeah.
You want to get specific, like, thanks for the grub. No, you want to be like, what was the... Right, what was... So Jill said to me that when she went to a camp... That's the blessing they said. She went to some kind of lame Jewish camp, whatever it is, and like, and thank you God for the grub, blah blah blah, dun dun dun. They had a little thing and they were out of there.
So
yeah.
What if you have multiple things on the plate but they're not mixed?
Then separate blessings.
For each thing.
Yeah, multiple things on a plate but not mixed, and I don't want to complicate. There's actually an order. Forget the order, just make separate blessings on each thing. So we're going to go through those blessings now, quickly.
What's the difference between five grains and bread then?
It's just one. That's a really good question.
Is it leavening?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably it. That's probably. Say that in French. Okay. Five grains. Let's do it together. You guys with me? Right hand top. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Plus, you've got who creates the various kinds of foods. It's pretty generic, also, right? Right, but it refers specifically to grainy kind of foods. We just did fruits. Let's take vegetable. Let's go wine and grape juice on the right hand column on the bottom. Baruch. And that's super, super particular, right?
Question.
Wait, hold on. Let's just do all these, and because it's going to help, and I'll get to your question. Altogether, vegetables. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri Adama. What's the word Adama from Adam? Adam. Person comes from the ground, right? So a potato. Excellent. Now, this is a simple thing to do. Why? Pickles are what? Pickles are from the ground, are they not? Are they? Cucumbers are from the ground. Say again? No, pickles. Pickles are cucumbers that are pickled.
Yeah.
Right, fine. So what you do is it's very simple. If you have something on your plate, you just say, where is it from? If it's a fruit, you make that bray eitz. If it's a vegetable from the ground, adama. If it's wine, bray pir guffin. If it's one of the five grains, mizonot. Anything else is shahakol. Anything else is shahakol. Let's do the shahakol top left. Now there's a fish swimming around on top. Because a fish is... anything left? Cheese is anything left? Chicken is anything left? Meat is anything left? Coffee, all your beverages, soft drinks, everything. Let's do it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nihiyeh Bidvaro, which means by whose word all things came into being. Okay? Now, let's take some questions. We had some questions.
What? Yeah, leaving aside the fact that, yeah, some of the pictures
it's
don't actually match up for itself.
Yes.
Yes, it should be. Pineapples? No, they grow off trees.
They grow off trees.
But my question was this.
Yeah, there's some exceptions.
Well, it's pineapples on the
mouth.
Yeah, pineapples are adama.
French fries.
What's that? Some things that are so low-hanging, they're considered bushes. Like a pineapple tree would be considered adama. It's just so close to the ground. Like bananas. What do you make on a banana? You would think priya eats, but it's also adama.
Okay.
Banana is adama.
That's why tomatoes
are adama. Tomatoes also, by the way. I was wrong. Tomato was, yeah.
The bracha for wine.
Yeah. Low hanging.
Hold on. But the bracha, right, the bracha for fruit says fruit of the vine.
Right.
And like you were saying, tomatoes grow on vines. I think zucchinis may grow on vines, but tomatoes definitely grow on vines.
Right.
So why are they not getting put with fruit of the vine? Because that's very... Because grapes grow off a tree. Off
yeah, but grape you make wine.
It's a prayer for the grape.
Yeah.
It's
the for
holy,
the fruit of the vine.
It's the holy
which it
fruit.
Is. I know what I'm saying.
Right.
They needed to make a separate prayer.
Say for the grape and not the fruit of the vine. There are other fruits of the vine.
Hey, but what would you do for olives?
But isn't it a... It's like a tree, though.
No, no, it's a grape vine.
Tomatoes come off
adama.
The ground off a vine.
Yeah.
The grapes come off a tree off the vine.
It's a different kind of vine, right? It's like barky.
Yeah. I'll be honest. Listen, I got out like in the third run in my bracha bee when I was in fourth grade. And it was very traumatic. Is anyone? What, you never had bracha bees? Where'd you guys go to school? Like Dalton? Just kidding. So bracha bees, they line you up. It's like the, you know, and then
oh,
you,
they give you
I'm sensing jealousy.
Kiwi!
Hating on
the girls.
Yeah, the girls. My daughter got out, like, also. She did really well. She came in third at NDS in third grade in the bracha bees. It was a big deal.
This is a thing that's hilarious.
It's bracha bees are huge. They're huge international competitions all over the world.
Wait, actually?
I'm exaggerating, but every school has. Okay, Steven. Guys, it's going to be very confusing for the people taping.
So, question just about the bread against the wine.
Yes.
For Shabbat, we cover the bread.
Yes.
We pray on the wine.
Correct. That has nothing to do with this, but I can answer. Anybody know why that is? Why do we cover the bread and make the blessing over the wine?
I heard it when I grew up.
So the bread doesn't feel
jealous. So the bread doesn't get jealous.
That's the Mishugas they taught me.
You're concerned with
what's the reason? Who knows the real reason? What's the real reason?
Well,
I mean, there's a very beautiful idea, by the way. I'm making a joke about the embarrassment. There's a very beautiful reason that everybody says that. But the technical reason is you have two mitzvot in front of you. What happens when you have two mitzvot in front of you? By definition, you're going to have to pass one up. And that's kind of a slap in the face. There's a Talmud says, a mitzvah babi yadeinu, a mitzvah that comes to your hand, al tachlitzenu. You should never pass up. That's why you ever get invited to a bris, for example. You don't get invited to a bris. Someone tells you, I had a baby, it's a boy, the bris is going to be ba ba ba, hope you can make it. You don't get invited. You know why? Because let's say you can't come. Oh, I'm not interested. I'd rather do this than do the mitzvah. You know what I mean? You're not supposed to pass up a mitzvah. Same thing. So you have the wine for the bracha to make over the wine, and you also have the bread. So which one do you do? For whatever reason, we start with the wine, then we move to the bread. The reason we cover it is so it's not there. Out of sight, out of mind. It's not there, then you can make the bracha of the wine.
So if you are at a dinner, and there is bread and wine...
This is only... you only have to do that on Shabbat.
But you do just a mutzi and that's it?
No. Wine, you'd have to make a separate blessing over the wine, even during the week. Because wine is so... Chashu, you should know this as a Frenchman. Wine is considered so distinguished and important. It is. No, really. You would never get up at a wedding and make a toast to someone on apple juice. Or, you know what I mean? You would use wine. Why? I can't even explain it to you. There's so many beautiful ideas behind wine. It just gets better with age, and you have to smash the grapes, and it goes through a difficult experience in order to get better. There's just all these holy, beautiful things about wine.
Is the order the same? You start by the wine and then the bread?
I think so. I think you would start with the wine. Although, if you're going to wash for hamotzi, you don't have to drink wine first and then go wash. What you can do is go wash, make hamotzi, and then you can make a berur pirgafim. But that's not the order on Shabbat. On Shabbat, you have everything on the table. So you cover the bread, and you make, and then you make a berur pirgafim. Now, you know the story. I have to do this. I'm sorry. I don't want to keep you here. But you know the story about the guy. This is a true story. He was like a Hasidish guy, and he was, all he wanted was to have the zechut, the great merit of having his Rebbe come to his home for Shabbat meal. And he's been inviting him for years. And finally, the Rebbe gets an opening, and he says, I'm going to come with my family to your home for Shabbat. So this chassid is like so excited. He's driving his family crazy, and he tells his wife, everything has to be perfect. The Rebbe's coming over. The food has to be this. Everything should be... Anyway, everything's going okay. The Rebbe comes over. They make kiddush. They go into the kitchen to wash their hands for hamotzi. The Rebbe comes out. And of course, they put the challah on the Rebbe's plate for him to make hamotzi for everyone. He picks up the two challah loaves. He's looking around. What's he looking for?
Salt.
He's looking for the salt. Can't find the salt. So the chassid, the guy whose home it's in, just becomes so irate. And he turns to his wife and he starts yelling, I told you to make sure everything was going to be perfect. The Rebbe doesn't have salt. He's making motzi and there's no salt. So the Rebbe makes a motzi without the salt. Oh my God, terrible catastrophe. He gives out the challah and he turns to his student. He says, tell me, Yankala, he says, why do we cover the challah before the wine? She says, every five-year-old knows that. He says, so not to embarrass the wine. He says, do you know why we have such a story like this? It's so we can learn how to treat other people. You think food has feelings? It's an inanimate object. But we tell our kids when they're little to be so sensitive to the challah that it's going to be embarrassed because the wine is getting the blessing first, so let's cover the challah so it doesn't get upset. Mm-hmm. It's to teach you how to treat other people, mm-hmm, and not to, God forbid, embarrass your wife in front of them. He was trying to teach them a lesson. This is the story, by the way, that one of the famous stories that this idea that not to embarrass comes from. The technical reason is because you have two mitzvahs in front of you, it's considered a little slap in the face to say, I'm not interested in doing this mitzvah. I'll just let it sit there.
What's,
you know what I mean?
Salt?
What's that?
What's with the salt?
The salt is just, first of all, makes things taste better. And they used to salt the sacrifices in the temple. And your meal on the Shabbat is supposed to resemble your table is supposed to resemble an altar. I don't know if you've ever seen this. When I was a kid, I once sat on a table once, and the rabbi went ballistic on me. He was like, that table's an altar. I'm like, no, it's just a table. No, in Jewish tradition, the table represents the altar from the temple. And your meal, by the way, this goes back to what we just said. Why do we eat? Okay, we're hungry, you need to survive. And now, if you're a foodie, you really enjoy the whole aesthetic of the whole thing. Okay, We eat as Jews, we want to teach the world that it's a way of connecting with Hashem. It's a way of expressing gratitude. It's a way of demonstrating that we still need Hashem, even though we're sophisticated beings. It's a way of staying connected to our source. And that's what all these blessings, that's what this whole thing, I think, is really about. Okay, so these are all the little blessings. Now, if you washed and you made a motzi, then you need to bench. I don't have the benching. I just want to tell you one thing about benching. Most of you, probably at my home at some point, I always try to point this out, which is that benching is not as long as a lot of people think it is. It's four blessings. All those harachamans. Ha-na-na-na, ha-na-na-na. And those are really nice. And I'm not saying not to do it. And you get to say nice things about your host and your hostess. But they're not technically part of benching. There's stuff that was added on later. It's just the first four blessings. The first one was instituted by Moses. The second was instituted by Joshua. The third was instituted by David and Solomon, who built the first temple. And then the fourth one was Chachmei Yavne, the sages of Yavne. They're really important, and a lot of us maybe have benched on Shabbat, but technically we're supposed to do that anytime we eat bread, which is why a lot of people avoid eating bread. But I'm not saying you should. It makes the blessings before easier. You just have to do one over the bread and you're good for everything except wine. Now, if you don't want to do that, you just want to have a snack or you want to eat lunch or even a wrap, I think you could technically make a mezonot on a wrap. I don't think you have to go and wash on a wrap. Some say you do, but it's a debate. I think it's fine. You can just make a mezonot. What do you do then in terms of an after blessing? Turn the little card over. You've got the after blessing here. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty fine print, so help me out here. The following blessing is said after eating cooked or baked foods prepared from the five species of grain on the other side, wheat, barley, rye, oats, or spelt, after drinking wine or eating grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, or dates. If one partook of any combination of the above, their blessing should be combined by adding the letters of words in the parentheses. I'm not going to go through this with you, but this would be the after blessing. And let's say you only had something to drink. Let's say you only had something that required the shahakol blessing before. The shahakol blessing, what's an example of something that only required the shahakol blessing? Throw stuff out. Let's hear. I'll pick some tuna. Fish, as opposed to tuna. Keep going. Eggs. What's that?
Cheese.
Excellent. Soda. Coffee. Very good. So that would make the shahakol. All you have to do in terms of an after blessing, and you don't have to do it right afterwards. Like if you're going to have another sip, or you're walking around with that thing, everybody's walking around with these things now, it's good, keep hydrated, very healthy. You walk around with this thing, when you think you're going to be finished eventually, at some point you have to stop drinking, okay? Before you go to sleep at some point, then you would make this after blessing. You don't have to do it every single time. And by the way, you don't have to keep making the same blessing. In fact, you shouldn't keep making the same blessing. If you're going to take another bite, or you're going to come back to the table 10 minutes later because you're a little full, you want to relax, you want to come back later, you don't have to make another blessing as long as it's within the hour. Take a look, blessing after food and drinks on the bottom. Let's do this together in the Hebrew. Last paragraph. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam borei nefashot rabot v'chesronan al kol ma shebarata lehachayot bahem nefesh kochai baruch ha'olamim. Look at the English. You can read it. By the way, you want to do these in English, that's totally cool. Take a look, last paragraph. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, creator of numerous living beings and their needs. For all the things you have created with which to sustain the soul of every living being, blessed is he who is the life of the worlds.
Is this what you also say if you just eat like an apple or something?
Yes.
The other stuff is for grains.
Good. Also for an apple or a vegetable.
This is shehekol and hayez and ha'adama.
Also true. Good. Good point.
What about something like mint?
A mint. You mean, do you have to make a bracha at all because you're not really consuming it? Is that your question?
Well, I'm curious about gum.
Like,
so I think...
Gum, you're not swallowing.
So gum, you're not swallowing gum, but you are ingesting the flavor.
The sugar.
The sugar.
But it's not even necessarily sugar.
It doesn't have to be sugar. There has to be some sort of taste. So this comes up a lot, like on... So like, let's say a vitamin. A vitamin is really not considered food. The problem is if it's chewable, like a swallowable vitamin or pill, no blessing, because it ain't food. But now, what is that, the strip thing? I don't think you make a bracha on the strip thing because you're not doing it for the... But I think when you chew gum, you're trying to get something, aren't you?
There's chemicals.
Yeah, there's something. Okay, whatever it is, it's food. Well, it's not natural, but it's food. It's food.
No, yeah.
It doesn't matter. You make a shahakol on gum. Yeah, make a shahakol on gum. But I wouldn't make it on vitamins or medicine.
Since we're talking about differentiating yes. things, why then was the crouton thing such an issue from a wrap is not an issue from Mozi?
So that's a good question. I'm not such an expert on this. I've just asked a number of opinions. If you're making that your meal, your wrap is your meal, some people would say you should go and wash and make hamotzi on it, because that's your meal. Others would say, no, it's just a wrap. It's not considered bread. Now, there's a very fine line. Max was just asking this. At what point is something considered bread or not? There's a little debate when you go on these planes, like the kosher food on the planes. A famous story with Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, who was one of the great rabbis of our generation. And because he didn't have a beard, the stewardess on the plane gave him a hard time because he called the stewardess over and he says, can you please show me where the closest washing station is? And the stewardess on El Al saw what he was doing and said, oh, you don't have to wash on that bread. They're mizonos rolls. You ever hear mizonos rolls? They have rolls. They're really made out of juice as opposed to water. So he said, oh, thank you very much. If you could just please show me, you know, where to, because his opinion is that you still have to wash on that, even though the wrapping said you don't need to wash, you know? And she's like, listen, you could even go over there and ask a rabbi if you want. And it was Rav Aaron Lichtenstein who she was talking to. He was like one of the biggest sages of the generation. He was the Rosh Hashiva of Gush, and he, you know, whatever, I guess he didn't look as rabbinic as some of the other people on the plane. So there's a debate. There's a debate when it comes to wraps and what actually constitutes bread. Some people wash, some people don't.
But you say
motzi
over
matzah. Correct.
Which is less bread than a wrap.
It's not fermented. That's correct. It is considered matzah. It's considered bread for the sake of Passover. You're not allowed to eat real bread on Passover, as you know. You're not allowed to eat fermented bread, but we can make a motzi. It's a good point. What about pizza?
I was going to say one piece.
That's
versus two, right?
How much?
One slice.
Yeah. Raging debate.
One slice versus a snack.
Right, so that's good. That's what people say. It's a meal versus snack. Now, if I go around here, how many slices makes you a meal?
Two.
Three.
Four. Guys, three, I'm sorry.
Girls, what? Two.
Meal four.
Huh?
One.
Right.
Plain slice or something?
Right, I'm going to pause this. You're not going to believe this story. You're going to think, all right, we're going back on.
We went off the rails, guys.
Please.
I just have a question. So why can pizza be like up in the air about whether it's McDonald's or Mozi when like the croutons in a salad is automatically...
Right, because I guess a crouton, this is what my theory, because the thing is that piece of pizza has got all that tomato sauce and cheese and all this other stuff. It's not a bread. It's just like the basis for all these other things, whereas the crouton is just a piece of bread. It's just small. That's all.
Oh, and
yeah.
The salad question, like, I don't know if you answered it, but like, if there's a gajillion ingredients in a salad, but no bread, like, what do you think?
So you got to look at your ingredients. What's in that thing? Give me your typical salad.
Lettuce.
What bracha do you make on lettuce? It's a vegetable, therefore it's a borei pri ha'a dama. Good. What else is in your lettuce?
Tomatoes.
If it was a salad with a meat.
Borei pri ha'a dama, same thing. What's that?
If it was a salad with like grilled chicken.
Yeah, so I think you'd probably make a shahakol in the grilled chicken, and it's a mixture, the other stuff would get subsumed under it. It's a good point. Now what you could do, you could cheat a little. Let's say you're having a cookie for dessert. Right, you could have a little bite of your... I know you're not supposed to eat dessert before the main, but you could have a little bite of your cookie, make a mizonot on that, and keep that in mind for your little mizonot thing in the salad. That's what a lot of people do, because if they're not sure. You get a little creative once you start getting the hang of this. But I gave this to you so that you can carry it around and enjoy it. I want to share one last thing before I go, and that is the blessing of the bathroom. I can't not finish with the blessing of the bathroom. Now, I spoke about this on Saturday night, and it's just really beautiful. Follow with me. This is reprinted from the Art Scroll Prayer Book. This is the bracha you make when you get up in the morning, even if you don't go to the bathroom, but we always encourage people to use the bathroom when they go up in the morning. By the way, you should always go to the bathroom when you have to go. it's actually brought down as a halacha that it is forbidden, according to the Torah, to hold it in, because it's considered so unhealthy to do that, to not relieve oneself when one needs to.
Even if you're in the middle of
you break up what you're doing and you go to the bathroom. You do it for two reasons. Number one, it's a prohibition of, it's unhealthy. And number two, you can't have kavana. How can you have focus and concentration when you have to go to the bathroom? So, follow with me. This is after. By the way, do you make this bracha in the bathroom?
No.
You cannot make this blessing in the bathroom because it contains God's name. There's only one blessing that we say in the morning. It doesn't have Hashem's name. That's the Moda Ani. That's why you can say it from your position you are in your bed. Let's do this together. You with me? Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Let's go. Asher Yatzar Et HaAdam B'Chachma, which means, take a look at the English, God who formed man cleverly, with wisdom. Let's keep going. Uvara Vo Nekavim Nekavim. And He created within us Nekavim. I don't like this organs. Nekavim are really holes. Holes. What's a hole? Give me an example of a hole in your body.
Ear.
Your ear. Thank you for keeping it, you know, not gross. Mouth. Give me your mouth is another example of a hole. What else? Your eyes, your nose. Okay. Chalulim, chalulim. Chalulim are cavities. What's an example of a cavity? That's an internal kind of organ, like the lung, the kidney, the stomach. Very good. So you've got, what do you have here? You have a, I was just thinking about this all day because there were all these doctors at this funeral that I officiated at because he was a very prominent physician. He actually started the anesthesiology department at Stony Brook many years ago, and his son who spoke is a physician. All of his kids are doctors. They're like super doctors, and it was just so beautiful. It was all about healing, and he was a survivor, and he devoted his life to healing and to perpetuating Jewish tradition. Like an amazing thing. I'll just tell you one last story, and it's just connected to this. He was invited to Germany to speak. He was a very prominent professor of anesthesiology, and he was invited to Germany. He spoke fluent German. He went with his son. His son told us about the trip. He said he went with his yarmulke, ordered kosher food, and was the featured speaker at the medical conference in Berlin. And he said, you know, some survivors don't go. Shuki, I'm sharing the story.
Don't go.
About the Dr. Popper's when they went to Germany. Yeah. Remember what's his name was telling the story on the medical conference?
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy, right? And he just said, you know, because some survivors will never go back. He went back with his yarmulke, with his kosher food, and gave the lecture to devote himself to medicine and to building synagogues, and everything he did with his life was pretty amazing. So anyway, let's finish up the blessing so we can finish up class. So you've got these openings and you've got these holes. And you've also got these cavities. Let's go. Let's continue in the Hebrew. Fourth line down. All together. Galui viyadua lifnei kisei kevodecha. Which means it is revealed before your throne of glory. She'im yipatech echad mehem. Sorry. She'im yipatech echad mehem. If God were to open up one of those things, open up what? If God were to open up something that was supposed to be closed, like one of your inner cavities, right? Or, let's go. Or yisatem echad mehem. Or God were to close up one of those openings, like your nostrils, your eyes, your ears, right? That would be awful. E efshar lihitzkayem. It would be impossible to exist. Baruch atah Adonai, blessed are you, God. Rofei chol basar umafli la'asot. God who heals all flesh in a wonderful way. Now, think about that for a minute. If you did that, if we do that after every bathroom experience, right, and we actually thought about it, we would walk around different. We would be appreciative. We would be grateful. And it wouldn't take away bad things going on in our lives, but it would put them into perspective. Because we realize the blessings that we truly have, which we need to express gratitude before they're threatened, while we still have them. It's a very beautiful idea. So I hope I've inspired you a little to make blessings. Take the card home, take the sheet home, and here's the thing. Practice makes perfect. Flex your blessing muscles. Keep blessing everyone. Thank you all for being here. Shuki is going to teach. He's going to be unbelievable, as he always is. and he's much funnier than me. So stick around. You're all welcome to come on Shabbat. And guys, the spring retreat is not this weekend. It is the following weekend. It's going to be unbelievable. We're going to have an awesome experience on the spring retreat.
I'm going.
Awesome. We got a lot of people coming. And Israel trip is coming up also. We're gearing up for that. Have a wonderful evening, everyone.
Thank you.
And happy blessings. Or blessings to you.
I saw something.